got three words for you. You like that?
No! No other way to put it.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Intercepted at the 42-yard line! Yes, Nick Bolton!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Touchdown!
No!
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests, two-time Super Bowl champion and host of the Greenlight Podcast, Chris Long. Emmy Award-winning actor, Henry Winkler. Plus your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yes! Welcome to the Rich Eisen Show here on the Roku channel and this terrestrial radio station, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. I am completely fired up. I've got week 11 fever. I've got 50... fewer years on my life because Michigan took it off my life, taking on Illinois this weekend.
Pretty bad.
And I am hopped up.
It's pretty bad.
On caffeine and DayQuil. And I'm the best dad ever. And I'm sitting here in this chair. And I'm fired up. Good to see you, Chris Brockman. How are you, sir?
I'm great, man.
Good to see you, DJ Mikey. Hey. D's and D's Nuts.
Woo.
What's up, TJ Jefferson? How are you? I know what's up with you.
And you know what's up with me. A lot of people didn't believe in the Cowboys.
Yeah,
but you know
one
what?
Of them. You were one of them.
God did.
Oh, boy.
Yes, indeed.
I want to thank
away from me before I could do the yeah.
I want to thank Susie Schuster for sitting in this chair the last 2 days and for keeping my best dad ever sign close enough for me to be able to replace her best mom ever sign. It was a dicey Thursday and Friday, but I'm back.
He's back.
I'm back, everybody.
Hey.
So, and thanks to you guys.
Hey.
Thanks to everybody. I'm a very thankful guy. It's Thanksgiving week.
Hey.
Chris Long's going to be on this program. Henry Winkler's on this program. Henry Winkler, we made his dream come true. And I know that's a Laverne and Shirley line.
I'm sure he was on that at some point, right?
It's a spinoff.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
And he's going to be joining us in hour number three of this program. And it's going to be delightful. I'd stay tuned if I were you. Chris Long's here on this show. So much to talk about. And then there's you, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Chris Brockman and his full-on Magnum PI mustache has now got a great overreaction Monday. There is an insane amount to overreact to. I don't even know if you've got even college football in this mix, too.
I don't.
Because there's a lot to overreact to right there.
I'm his mustache's number one fan.
But
I'm
it ended up being like nothing happened.
Except,
like,
well, I'd say to say that to Tennessee fans and Hendon Hooker's ACL. But other than that, I understand what you're saying.
Well, yeah. I mean,
or USC fans who feel like they're in the catbird seat.
They're in.
I don't think they're in.
USC's in.
I don't think they're
USC
in.
USC wins the Pac-12. They're in.
I don't know about them apples, sir.
Well, it's because you see it through a different color.
I do. I see it through an 11-0 lens, but we'll talk about that on this program. We'll talk about that on this program.
You know what I want to talk about on this program, Rich?
I'm going to give you what you want.
No. Not what I want. I want, at some point, to talk about what you did this weekend.
Lizzo?
Yes. We got to get to that before the show. We got 3 hours, though.
We
got
3 hours. Yeah, I went to the Lizzo concert Friday night with my 14-year-old son. It's going to be dynamite to talk.
I can't wait.
You really want to hear about that, huh?
No, okay. Rich, I don't.
Nice, you do.
Yes.
Let's start this show with two words. Dallas Cowboys. I got to. I'm sorry. Look, I'm not doing that because we're clickbaiters and we know that people love the Dallas Cowboys and hate the Dallas Cowboys and we'll click on something that says the words Dallas and Cowboys on it all the time. No. We are not starting this show because of that. And I saw what the Kansas City Chiefs did last night. I saw it. Oh, yeah. And I understand what they're up to. I saw the Buffalo Bills do what they did against the Cleveland Browns in Detroit, which is a home game for them, and the Bills Mafia traveling. Well done. I saw what the Tennessee Titans did to start this week off in Green Bay. Saw it. If the Dallas Cowboys show up on Thursday against the New York Giants and the Sundays that they play or whatever Saturdays that they play, if they show up for every game that they have left, regular and postseason, and play like they did in Minnesota, then all the Dallas Cowboys haters in the world will have their worst friggin' nightmare because it will be Jerry Jones and his big old Dallas Cowboy grin holding up that Lombardi trophy that he told us about last year, before last season, when he was on this program talking about how he told the Lord that prior to his third Super Bowl win, that if I just win this one, I won't ask you again for another one. And he says he wants to redo that deal. He will get that Lombardi trophy if they show up and play like they did in Minnesota. That game yesterday in Minnesota was a wrap after Toe met ball. It was over. And I chose the Vikings to win this game. I thought the Vikings were going to come off that Buffalo Bill win feeling great about themselves and ready to prove in front of the nation watching on CBS with Nance and Romo and company that they were going to be the team to beat from Thanksgiving week on out. Why not? They lost to the Eagles in week two, hadn't lost since. Kirk Cousins was taking his shirt off on planes, Mr. Ice. Justin Jefferson with the catch of his life, as Joe Davis appropriately called it in real time. Dalvin Cook running. Za'Darius Smith and that defense buzzing. And the Cowboys said, hold my big ass beer. Third snap of the game. The Lion himself, Micah Parsons, runs down Kirk Cousins and causes a fumble and turnover. Over. I saw that. I'm like, look out, man. And then the Cowboys had Zeke back healthy, and they're doing the right thing. You know I've been pounding the table for more snaps for this guy. He is one of the best home run hitters in football. Tony Pollard, once again, you give him the ball in open space, see you later. And I think he's on, I'm going to say it, I think he's on par with Tyreek Hill. I think that's how much of a playmaker this guy is. I've got a nickname for him.
Oh, geez.
Okay. Don't say, oh, geez.
We don't have to nickname everyone.
They're not all terrible. No, we do.
We don't have to nickname everyone.
Should you run this by me pre-show?
Excuse me. RES Consulting is at an all-time high after Henry Winkler last night.
Yeah, but we all have our lanes, and this is my lane right here.
So. Not dispute what I'm about to call him.
I'm Chris, don't worry. I will.
New nickname for Tony Pollard. Holding my breath. Deuces. Deuces Pollard.
No,
see
Rich,
you later.
Rich, that's Tyreek's thing.
I don't care.
You can't have that nickname.
His nickname is the Cheetah. He's got a nickname.
Yeah, but
Deuces. This guy,
Chris,
is
help me.
Out the gate. Deuces Pollard. That's what I'll call him until I'm told to stop by him personally.
Can I personally, through him as a proxy?
You can do that, fine. But whatever.
But Emmitt Smith wore 22. That's Deuces.
Don't disrupt my flow.
Sorry, bud. Dayquil speaking.
That was the caffeine. I got to tell you, and I'm also sitting at home watching this dismantling in every phrase. Brett Maher. My God.
That's my guy.
Dude,
my kicker. Fantasy.
Brett Maher putting up a number that started with a deuce in most fantasy leagues and every fantasy league yesterday. He's hitting 60 yarders. He's hitting Brett Maher.
I played against him.
Hey, Brett Maher, kick a 60 yarder. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, we're going to review a play.
Review this play.
Now go do it again. One.
Goodness.
Shouldn't he get more points for 120 yards worth of field goal kicks right there?
Every phase, the Dallas Cowboys nailed it yesterday in Minnesota.
It was a good game.
And all I could sit there and think of was, what is Odell Beckham Jr. thinking as he's watching this game already with the Giants posting a big laid egg at home against the resurgent, break him up, Jamal Williams-led Detroit Lions.
No, it was Art Jamal Williams, man. He just scored.
And so I sat there and thought to myself, Dallas just put together their best game of the year. Their best game in several years, I would say.
Top to bottom.
Yeah. Top to bottom, left to right.
They played very well.
And I thought to myself, if you're Odell Beckham Jr. and you're supposedly choosing between the Giants and the Cowboys, and you're going to say, I'm going to visit one of these teams, both of these teams, and make a decision between these teams, as to who to join and what can I do? Where can I win? Where can I also not just win, but also not have everything thrown on me as the savior? Where I'm a complimentary piece, which is what he was when he joined the Rams last year. Okay? He was a complimentary piece. He was additive, to use the phrase that Jerry Jones used last week. The Giants lose to the Lions. I mean, they got blown out by the Lions. They got smoked by the Lions.
They were never in that
game. And they lost their rookie receiver, Wandale Robinson, to an ACL as well. The Giants now desperately need Odell Beckham Jr. to say, I'd like to run it back. Let's go and run this thing back, shall we? And if I'm Odell, I'm like, where can I win the Super Bowl this year and also not be viewed as the complete savior? I can work my way back in. Don't forget, last year he was just a guy who had a choice to go where he wanted, fully healthy. He's working his way back from a knee injury. He blew out his knee in the Super Bowl. Last game of the year.
When he was dominating.
This is a work your way back in situation. And the Giants are going to need him to come out with 15 targets and 100 yards a game right from jump. Cowboys can be like, all right, sorry, Noah Brown, some of your snaps are taken away. Right? Oh, you know, you work your way back in, Odell, while Tony Pollard, Deuces Pollard, gets in the end zone. You can work your way back in while Zach eats and jumps in the end zone, and then the Thanksgiving, jug.
Yeah.
The big old kettle.
The kettle, that's the word I was searching for, yes.
You can do that while Dak also works his way back in from being hurt earlier this year. You could work your way back in while Micah Parsons and Tank Lawrence and Diggs and the rest of that group eats a red-hot offense for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That was a...
Don't forget fourth meal.
1,000% lead pipe wielding, dynamite, perfectly timed, monster win by the Dallas Cowboys yesterday. Period. And I am not mincing any words here. I love what the Chiefs look like. As you know, I'm a Buffalo Bills guy, too. I've been on that wagon since the beginning, like the rest of the media world. I'm not jumping off it. I totally get it. The Dallas Cowboys play like that. They are coming for you. And in terms of what Odell's decision's got to make, how huge is that Thanksgiving game for the Giants to just erase what happened against the Lions, go into Dallas, and tell Odell, join us. This is basically their last-ditch effort if they want Odell, in my opinion, after what we just saw on Sunday. I mean, you know.
Rich, you also have to look at it like this, if Odell has the mindset that you just said, if he wants to work back in. But as we know, Chris, and you know this, most of these guys are dogs, right? Mm-hmm. Odell's a dog. Odell might want that smoke. He might want to have all the pressure on him. So, yeah, I mean, it sounds good if he wants to work back in, but if he wants to be out there and be the star, you know, that's just a different mindset. I don't know which way he's leaning.
He still could be the star in Dallas, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, he's got a star on the side of his helmet if he goes there. And you are, I mean, the Giants would be like, we need you to be the one right away. In Dallas, it's just like in Los Angeles last year. Work your way in. We'll work you in. Learn our system. Get up to speed. By the time the playoffs hit, we can go. And by the time the Super Bowl, if we're so lucky, hits, you can be the MVP. Go. I mean, what a W. Perfectly timed for Dallas. And the clock is ticking on the Giants if they want Odell Beckham Jr. Thanksgiving. Middle of the day. Middle game. Wow, what a monster contest that is. And the Vikings going to have to, they're going to have to come back and beat the Patriots, who, as we all know, definitely know how to be clown a quarterback that might not be ready for that primetime moment. As we talked about the Giants, New York football turned back into a pumpkin yesterday. Just in time for pumpkin pie week, huh?
Can't wait.
So I won't talk about that. And the Kansas City Chiefs and whatever you would like to talk about from yesterday's action in the NFL and the entire weekend. 844-204-RICH is that number to dial. When we come back, we'll talk about the Sunday night game and the AFC West. How about that? Week 11 in the books for the AFC West, and it is essentially in the books for the rest of the 2022 season. We will discuss that. And Overreaction Monday, Chris Long will be in his usual spot, top of hour number two. Lots to talk about with him and you. 844-204-RICH, again, is the number to dial if you're watching on Roku, listening on SiriusXM Odyssey, or this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio station. This holiday, find what you love at Total Wine & More. With so many great bottles to choose from, it's easy to find a new favorite single barrel bourbon or the perfect gifts for everyone on your list with some help from a friendly guide. And all with the confidence of knowing you found something special for the lowest price. Find what you love. Love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More. Curbside pickup and delivery available in most areas. Visit TotalWine.com to learn more. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly. B21.
Influencer. It's a word that gets tossed around a lot these days. There is a woman who went the distance, who broke ground as the first true influencer by living a remarkable life. Her name, Elizabeth Taylor. I'm Katy Perry. This is the story of the original influencer. This is Elizabeth the First. Elizabeth the First, the podcast, wherever you listen.
Back here in the Rich Eisen Show, watching the Netherlands.
Oh, corner kick.
Mike, play-by-play. Come on, let's do it.
No. You can't do that. Fox will take away his key card like it's Twitter.
I'm already doing it wrong. Like it's Twitter.
I think back to those Zoom days. Brockman, I remember now your Zoom background was just like the edge of a dresser in the white wall.
I didn't have a great setup.
You put no effort into it.
World Cup,
it.
I didn't have soccer.
I had no setup.
Week 11.
You put a poster behind you or something.
Week 11, NFL, World Cup soccer, college football,
basically
NBA.
England did to Iran this morning what Dallas did to Minnesota.
What was the final?
6-2. England.
Stomped a mud hole in them and walked it dry. Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much.
Wow. What's the who scored the most? Because I'll give that guy the nickname of Deuces too.
Yeah,
Raheem better. Sterling.
Radio I know actually
Deuces Sterling.
No, that's Radio Raheem.
No, sorry.
The three Lions.
Bukayo Saka had two goals.
Fantastic. 844-204 Rich number to dial.
Fantastic.
So,
Harry Kane.
You know, we have a couple of storylines that we've been wondering about all season long that I think we've been got wrapped this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I talked about one of them on the phone on Friday. Sue's sitting here. Sue's here. You there. Me in the backyard convalescing. And the Packers are done. I said it, and I believe it. The Packers are done. The Cowboys did him a favor. They did him a favor to keep somehow, some way, hope alive in the division.
Keep hope alive.
The Vikings are 8-2, and the Packers are 4-7. That's a 5-game difference for those scoring at home in the loss column. There's 7 games to go. Still alive. So, like the Don, who took how many shots? It took
seven.
Several shots.
Seven.
He's still alive, okay.
Like Pearl Jam.
Right.
Seven.
And so, I guess, you know, Vikings fans are like Salazzo. They can't believe that they're still alive. But they're still alive.
Salazzo.
But this ain't happening. That means Minnesota's got to essentially lose every game from here on out, and the Packers have to win every game from here on out. And guess who the Packers are looking up at right now? The Lions, who have won 3 in a row. First time since 2017. Interestingly enough, it was a 3-game winning streak that they took into Thanksgiving week. It's kind of the same time. Isn't that amazing that the Lions have done that since 2017? And is the last time they won 3 in a row. And so the Packers have to leapfrog a a team to get to the it ain't happening. And the problem with the Vikings losing, even when the team in front of them that they have to run down loses, the Packers don't win because the team that beat them is pretty much the only team right now that's in the periphery of the wild card that the Packers actually beat and have a win over for a tiebreak. Packers lost the Giants in London. Packers lost to the Commanders a couple weeks ago. The Commanders are now 6-5.
They've won 5 out of 6.
They sure have. It's Taylor Heineke's job now. And you look at the Niners tonight. They're going against Colt McCoy, it appears, on Monday Night Football. I mean, you can't just chalk it up. But
he's been good.
Once again, on the Rich Eisen Show, the column that you see as in the hunt everywhere else on playoff pictures that you're going to be seeing, for those Roku channel people who might be new to the show, we call it sniffing it. And the it is a wild card berth, in case you're wondering what the it is.
Yeah.
That's one of the first RES consulting successes.
Didn't we get that on the
Joe Buck once put it on Fox. Yep. He's kind enough to say sniffing it. Because we don't understand what the hunt stuff is. At any rate, not looking good for the Packers at all. And we were wondering all offseason, how's it going to look for the Packers without Javonte Adams? How's it going to look for the Packers with all these rookies at wide receiver? How's it going to look? How about missing the playoffs? That's how it's going to look. I think we can check that box now. Because the next game for the Packers are the Philadelphia Eagles, who for the first time since, by the way, I believe DeSean Jackson's miracle at the Meadowlands 2, that was the last time the Eagles were down by double digits entering the fourth quarter on the road in a game that they won. And they did that to Jeff Saturday's Colts yesterday.
Yeah. I thought Jeff had it.
And so it sure looks like the Eagles are, if you will, quote unquote, back.
Yeah.
I know.
No.
I know, but they won in a game that a lot of folks were wondering what's going to happen when they face that. And they lost it the previous week where they were down to the Commanders at home. And they pulled it out of their orify.
Yeah, it helps when the team defending Sunday. You doesn't guard your best player.
Got it.
Which is the quarterback.
All good.
Running.
Chalk it up. They did it. Doesn't matter. No pictures in the scorecard, in the standings. No pictures. Packers are in trouble because their next game is in Philadelphia on Sunday Night Football for the whole country to chew on it on Sunday of Thanksgiving weekend coming up. So check that box. I think we've got all these storylines that we talked about from March all the way to the beginning of the playing season, and we now currently see what the Packers are doing this year, and that is being home in January. Another storyline we talked about all non-playing season from the hell going on month of March where everything changed, all the way to the beginning of the regular season. And I think, you know, this is amazing too. Going into the season, I think the most shared belief in the NFL media world was the Bills are going to win the Super Bowl, right? Oh. Didn't everybody on NFL Network choose the Bills to win the Super Bowl, right? And then you looked across the NFL media landscape from my shop to my old shop at ESPN, any shop, name the shop, even probably the shop, you know, LeBron's shop, name the shop. I think everybody widely believed this was Josh Allen in the Bills world and we're all rent payers in it. That's still possible, obviously. Last couple of weeks, despite the Lions, I mean, having an opportunity to derail it and in the home of the Lions, the Bills doing their thing against the Browns, despite a week of complete madness where they almost didn't make it to Detroit for that game because of the thunder snow that dropped 11 inches shy of being a member of the 88 club, 77 inches fell on Western New York.
That's so crazy.
So
I saw a snow.
That was, I think, the most widely shared belief coming into the season was Bills are going to win the Super Bowl.
Yep.
If that was one, then 1A. 1A had to be AFC West, toughest division, not only in football, but maybe the toughest division football's ever seen. Ever seen.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, just take a look. The Raiders got Devontae Adams and Chandler Jones. I took that cheese, as we all know, to say they were going to win this toughest division in football because Josh McDaniels with Derek Carr and this team that had so much moxie in the face of so much adversity last year to win 10 games and make the playoffs and almost beat the eventual AFC champs in their home. I thought that was going to be them sitting at the top of a division that adds Russell Wilson from Seattle and so on and so forth. Randy Gregory was coming. And
I wonder how he feels about his decision.
Khalil Mack. Yeah. Khalil Mack coming here to Los Angeles. J.C. Jackson and so on and so forth. And Tyreek Hill said deuces to Kansas City.
About
the Cheetah goes to Miami. And we're all like, what's going to happen with the Chiefs offense now that they've lost their Cheetah? Going to be totally wide open. Anybody can win it. The Chiefs' reign sitting atop this division was threatened. Well, here we are after 11 weeks. And the Chiefs have a 3-game lead over the Chargers, who they just swept last night. So that's really a 4-game lead, isn't it? And the Raiders, who were, no question, the most disappointing team in the NFL, certainly in these parts, no question, going into week 11, just beat the Broncos to sweep them to come back and win a game in Denver in overtime, where you want to talk about not covering a team's best player. Devontae Adams, wide open. I mean, no one within 20 yards of him, it looked like, when he caught the game winner last night. Raiders not only leapfrogging the Broncos in the standings, but leapfrogging the Broncos as a less disappointing team. Broncos officially now, in my mind, the most disappointing team in the NFL coming into the season. I had to see it to believe it because it was a new coach and I had no idea what Russ was going to do with his new players and his new weapons. And even in a time where, bless him, Nathaniel Hackett says, I'll give up the play calling. And then they lose that game with only one touchdown on the board.
Oof. Ugly.
So Denver falls to last place in this division. And it's not even open to competition. It's over. There's nothing I can say that will erase the worst take I've had, certainly in terms of football, in the history of this show, to say the Raiders were going to win this division. And I'm doubtful about the Kansas City Chiefs. My bad, mea culpa. I get it. Nothing I will say that will get Stone Street and his heat off my back. I get it. It's funny. Yesterday, when I said that the Raiders, what a win for them, and they put the Broncos in last place, he said, that's, he tweeted at me with a meme of him on the set of Modern Family is just shaking his head no. Like, that's not going to keep me from telling you that's the worst take you've ever had.
Is Stone Street writing checks to you, though? Because if the Chiefs don't win, you have a lot of fodder to come back.
I don't have any fodder. I have zero fodder. There's no fod. There's no dirt. There's no fodder. There's no nothing. There's no mutter. There's no fodder. There's no nothing. I have nothing on this front because the Kansas City Chiefs, entering week number 12, and I know how I started the show about the Dallas Cowboys, they're the best team in football. They are the best team in football. And they have, entering week 12, the most valuable player in football. His name is Patrick Mahomes.
He is unstoppable. And every Los Angeles Charger, San Diego Charger, anybody who knows anything about charging their phone, anything about electricity, name anything to do with power and lightning or anything. Anybody who knows powder and the color blue, everybody knew when the Chargers took that lead last night, late in the fourth quarter, it was not enough. And there was too much time still on the clock. To the point now where people are tweeting out, this is the obligatory, they left too much time on the clock for Patrick Mahomes tweet. We knew it. Everybody knew it. And when Dicker the kicker kicked that extra point, I'm like, all right, degree of difficulty made it that much tougher because they got to score a touchdown, but we knew it. We all knew it. And you all knew who was going to be the guy scoring it too, didn't you?
I mean, yeah.
You all knew it. Yeah. The Charger killer.
Killer Trav.
The great Travis Kelce. Yes, Tyreek Hill's in Miami, but this guy's still in Kansas City, isn't he? And so is Patrick Mahomes. He is unbelievable. And now he's got guys you've never heard of that he's throwing to. Who the hell knew they've got more tight ends than Travis Kelce? And he's using all of them. And Sky Moore, the kid who they drafted, who's hardly done a thing all year long. Seven catches coming and had five last night.
Yep.
Okay, no Juju, right? Kadarius Toney gets hurt right in the middle of the game. He did nothing last night. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. And Isaiah Pacheco, by the way, the kid from Rutgers, he got the first 100-yard game that the Chiefs have had since week four last year.
Yep.
Patrick Mahomes is the MVP. The Chiefs are the best team in the NFL, and it's week 12 coming up, Thanksgiving week in the National Football League 2022 season, and so on and so forth, and the Chiefs are going to win this division again, and the so-called toughest division in football, maybe the toughest division football has ever put together. Because look at all the quarterbacks who've made Pro Bowls in it. Look at all the kids. Look at all the new talent coming in. It's going to totally shake things up. And kudos to the Broncos and the Chargers and the Raiders for saying, enough's enough. We're going to do what we have to do to finally depose the Chiefs. And the Chiefs are like, whatever. Whatever.
Whatever.
What other word to describe it? Whatever. Okay. Got it. And that's what all the Chiefs fans were thinking. And everybody else was talking about it. I'm one of the everybody else. And I am here to say to the Chiefs, my bad, mea culpa. And let's see what happens from here on out. Because clearly there are some other terrific teams in the league that can beat them, have already beaten them. They can lose. Who knows if Joe Burrow and the Bengals are now back. We saw what they did in Pittsburgh. I understand it's Pittsburgh and that they are not the same Steelers that we're used to the last few years. You know, don't forget, don't sleep on the bye-weeking Buccaneers. Okay, don't sleep on them. We'll see what the Niners do tonight. We saw what the Cowboys did yesterday. The Philadelphia Eagles are still very good. But the Chiefs, to salud. Let's take a break and talk about Zach Wilson and the New York Jets. I've got thoughts.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
I bet.
I wouldn't go anywhere if I were you.
Hold on. I got to go in the back and get some popcorn.
Yeah, grab it.
I would not go anywhere if I were you.
Let me go get some tea real quick.
Let me say that one more time. I wouldn't go anywhere if I were you.
I might go live on Instagram for this.
The World Tournament of Soccer happening in Qatar is finally here, and with all the weird kickoff times and all the other sports happening simultaneously, it can be kind of hard to keep up. So to make sure you're up to speed, be sure to listen to Qatar Kick Around for the daily wrap-up of all the action from the tournament. From the group stage all the way to the final, Andy, Lars, and Peter are here for you with recaps and opinions of what happened that day in Qatar. Everything can be found at thekickaround.com, the Cumulus podcast channel on YouTube, or wherever you listen.
NetSuite wants you to know your numbers, and you should listen to NetSuite by Oracle, because when you do, you know your business a hell of a lot better. Over 31,000 businesses know their numbers and have the confidence and clarity they need by knowing their numbers, because they rely on NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, and budgeting, and we have all of those. They're not hollowed out like they are in Twitter right now. So you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. And 93% of customers say they improve their visibility and control when they upgraded to NetSuite. What are you waiting for? Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to NetSuite.com/richradio right now. NetSuite.com/richradio. NetSuite.com/richradio. We've seen games that go 3-3 for a very long time. I think we saw one in Baltimore yesterday, right? Between the Ravens and the Carolina Panthers. Ravens eventually won that football game. And, you know, your eyes bleed when it's punt, 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 punt. Sack, punt, sack, punt. You know, that's not what you're looking for in this fantasy football world, this crazy fantasy football world, right? And those Thursday night games, we've seen Thursday night games and Monday night games, and you just know it. And unfortunately for the Broncos and Russell Wilson, they involve quite a bit of Broncos games. And you just know that Broncos-Colts game, for instance, earlier this year, you knew whichever team lost it would be eviscerated. And then the team that wins it, just forget about the struggles that they had. It's a win. A win is a win, doesn't matter. So you knew whoever lost Patriots-Jets yesterday, when it was 3-3, all the way to the last kick, whoever lost it would get eviscerated. And certainly with these two quarterbacks from last year's draft class struggling this year, which Mac Jones is doing, he is regressing, and you've been talking about it, Chris, with the play calling and the offensive coordinator.
It's been bad.
Plural, whatever's going on there, it would have been a very long day and night and today, Monday, in New England, had the Patriots not pulled that out with a punt return for a touchdown in the final seconds of the game. And I don't know why the hell the Jets decided to kick it down the middle of the field with mere seconds to go. One would think, just kick the damn thing out of bounds and let's go to overtime. But no, let's give him a chance to return it. WTF, number one. And then the reason why they punted it is because Zach Wilson couldn't get a damn first down. And let's get to that. The big problem for a Jets team that is, I can't believe I'm saying these words, 6-4. And a problem. Why would it be a problem if 6-4? If you told me earlier in the year Jets are 6-4 every Thanksgiving week, I'm like, where is that piece of paper for me to sign?
Sign me up. Just let me open my pocket now.
Exactly. Okay, go for it.
I got some chips.
I got you. Okay. Where can I sign on the dotted line for that one? But here's the problem. Here's the problem. The defense that the Jets have right now are top notch, top five in the NFL quality. Yeah, oh yeah. They got a defensive player of the year candidate in Quinnen Williams. They got a defensive rookie of the year candidate in Sauce.
Too much Sauce.
Okay. They can beat you. Just ask teams that they've beaten. Ask Aaron Rodgers, in whose lap they sat like a kid at a mall, wanting to chat with Santa Claus. And
I want the Red Ryder
also
BB gun.
Josh Allen. Ask the Bills Mafia how his elbow's doing. Okay. Defense is ready to win now. Ready to win now, and nobody saw that one coming. Now, the injuries on offense, losing their best offensive lineman in Elijah Vera Tucker, and they also lost lineman yesterday as well in the game, and Breece Hall. If Breece Hall was active, the Patriots would have a major problem defending him, just like everyone else had.
Very true.
So you've got to front load your comments about Zach Wilson with that. However, there's injuries everywhere. Okay. Mac Jones had Andrews up front.
Went down again.
See you later.
Yep.
But they still made first downs and put the ball in the foot of Nick Folk, who was kind of like a Manchurian candidate patriot from the Jets yesterday, missing kicks.
Weird performance from him.
But when you have more punts than completions, when you have 20 games under your belt now professionally, and your touchdown to interception ratio, and your passer rating, and your yards per attempt damn near mirror through 20 starts of your career that of Jamarcus Russell's. When you have a completion percentage of 55% this year, when you have the same number of touchdown passes in this league through this amount of time as Jameis Winston, who hasn't played in about a month and a half, if you have fewer touchdown passes in the league at this point entering Thanksgiving week, fewer touchdown passes than Bailey Zappi, Baker Mayfield, Taylor Heineke, who's had two fewer starts, and Joe Flacco, who went 2-2 while you were out. You cannot say this when you step to the podium after a game like that.
First place was on the line. It's the Patriots, you know, wanting to rent revenge after last year and earlier this year. I mean, does this one sting more that you lost in the way you lost it?
Yeah, I mean, it sucks to lose always, but you know, we got a lot of season left, so we're going to move on and try and get better.
As an offense, though, I mean, when you guys are only able to score 3 points, the defense only lets up 3 points. I mean, do you feel like you let the defense down at all?
No.
All right, let me just help you out, Zach. I don't. You might not be asking my two cents here. You did let the defense down. The answer to that question is yes. And it's a simple thing for you to say is, yeah, we did. I love those guys. They're putting it all out on the line, and we need to do better as a group, and I'm looking in the mirror to start. That's what Josh Allen said after you and the Jets beat him. I played like ish, says Josh Allen. When you go to New York, you've got to have something thicker than what appears to be Provo skin here. And when you go to New York, if you are somebody who hasn't been used to being criticized, and I understand that I just made a slight towards BYU in that regard. Talk to Steve Young. Maybe he can help you on having thick skin when you go to a market bigger than Utah and Provo. You got to take it. You got to absorb it and make it better. Don't just give the turn the page cliches to try and tamp down the criticism you know is coming. Maybe he's heard too many people tell him how great he is. Like Tony Romo. Remember this from Tony? Go ahead and hit it.
I think Zach Wilson is going to be in discussion as one of the top 3 to 5 quarterbacks very quickly. You know, within the next couple of years, I think you're going to see him rise. I think he's unbelievable. His ceiling is so high. It's rare for me to say someone has the ability to get in the stratosphere of a Mahomes, but I think this kid actually has that ability.
That was before last season. Ooh. Zach, you're playing so poorly. You have turned the most accurate on-the-spot prognosticator in a booth in the NFL into somebody who's wrong. That's how poorly you are playing. And it is time. Now, maybe the Jets' scheme can help him out. Don't just stick him in the pocket. He's the king of the off-schedule throw. He's the king of, I'm going against my body and I'm going to throw it all the way down the field. The problem is for the Jets' coaching staff to just then trust him to try and make the off-schedule throws. He's got to prove to them first he can make the on-schedule throws, like when Braxton Berrios is wide open to your left. Plant your feet and make the throw. But instead, he's just flipping it out there like he is Patrick Mahomes, and it's sailing over people's heads or almost in the hands of the Patriots. Twice they had surefire interceptions on him yesterday, and they dropped it. So the Jets coaching staff, I'd love to criticize them for not allowing him to be Zach, but he's just got to be boring first, to use this Robert Saleh phrase from last year. And he hasn't even shown that he can do that with consistency. Here's the good news. They got the right people in the room and certainly the right guy in charge. Hey, Zach, if you want to know how to say it and what to say, just listen to your coach. This is what the coach had to say about the second half offense.
You talk about the second half, especially the offense, 7 possessions, only 2 total yards.
It was dog.
That reminds me, Zan, if you're watching at home because he's off this week, you got to pick some of that stuff up in the backyard. And that's part of your allowance duty this week. D-U-T-W-A-D. And then at least they got a Wilson who understands it too. They got a Wilson who gets it. His name's Garrett from The Ohio State University. Kind of not used to this sort of stuff. This is what Garrett Wilson had to say.
Not okay. Yeah, I mean, straight up, he's not okay. We had how many total yards we had?
100, a little over 100.
Yeah, that's not gonna fly. So, you know, we got the dudes. It's time. You know, it's time to be consistent. It's time to start winning the games we should win. It's time to do all that. Sorry, we out here looking sorry, man. And we know that we're not sorry. So that's why it really really hurts. You know, we know that we're better than that. That's why it hurts. That's why it's frustrating for me, because we can do more. Honestly, I feel like they got to put some more trust in the receiver room. I feel like we can go up and make plays, do things, I don't know if everyone feel that way, but hopefully, you know, by the time we get around next week, you know, everyone feel that way, and we got to have a great week of practice.
Well done, Garrett Wilson. That's one of the 11 warriors right there. That's a warrior. He gets it. Robert Saleh gets it. Genuinely concerned, the number 2 overall pick from last year does not get it. And he's got a whole body of work, 20 starts, that prove it on the field and whatever the hell he said after the game off the field. And here's the other piece of good news is there's a game you can come right back up. And at least it's not at home, where the fans will let him hear it for his first incomplete pass. And at least the other quarterback in the game isn't from the same draft class, who is clearly taking off in a system that's built for him and is surrounded by talent that's not as good as the ones that are around Zach Wilson. Oh, wait a minute. I'm being told it's Justin Fields in the Bears coming to town. If that guy runs around, and I'll tell you what, Zach, you should go to that defense and say, I did let you down, because it's that defense that you need is going to be counting on to put Justin Fields on his behind in a way that few teams have been able to in the last month. That defense is your friend, sir, and you did let them down, with all due respect. What's tougher, by the way, going into that game? Sacking your opponent 12 times over the span of 2 games and losing both, which the Jets did against the Patriots, or scoring 28 points or better in 3 straight games and losing all 3 of them as the Bears just did. Something's got to give, yeah. One would think.
Something's got to give.
Whew. You feel so better? There's that.
You feel better?
No, I don't. I don't.
I feel great.
Yeah, I bet you do. Chris Long coming up.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
Ramit Sethi, talking about being rich.
The old definition of rich had a lot to do with how much money you accumulated, but it wasn't about how to spend it. It was more about how to get it. But okay, so once you get it, what do you do with it?
In our culture, everybody tells you how to save, but nobody teaches you how to spend it.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.